I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 675. This is your host, Danny, and the guys are still taking a little vacation. We worked so hard during last week's E3 event in California, and we were there for, I believe, almost 7 days. It was like 6 days in total. And we had a blast over there. We managed to upload over 50 episodes during the week of E3. That's the first time in 12 years that we've ever done that before, man. So shout out to Brian at CBS Radio New York. He's been a huge, huge help. He managed to help us out with the editing and also upload the content and everything. So thanks to him, we managed to do that. Also, Anthony from CBS Radio LA, audio engineer, he helped us out big time too with the recording and checking to see the mics is good and everything. So that was a lot of fun, man. So shout out to them, man. Also, our listeners that have been hitting us up all week through Discord, Twitter, Facebook, even emails and voicemails, thank you so much. Eventually, we're going to answer your questions because there's a lot of questions that people have been sending us. We just need a break, guys. It was a lot of work. I lost my voice towards the end of E3. So hopefully, once we come back, we're ready to do this again with a whole roundtable discussion and everything. So good thing that I managed to save a couple of interviews for you, the listener, because we're trying not to take no days off here. And we're going to keep on releasing content until we come back and have like an official roundtable discussion with the whole crew and everything. So, and another thing too, I'm planning to go to Dominican Republic. I'm going to be staying at Santo Domingo. I'm heading over there June 24th. I'm staying there to June 30th. So any listeners from over there in the island, hit me up. Godfrey at gamertagradio.com. I would love to meet you. There's a couple people that I'm going to be meeting. And I'm planning to record an episode of Gamertag Radio live from Dominican Republic all the way in Santo Domingo. I just want to learn more about the gaming community in Dominican Republic now in 2017. You know, back in the days when I was living over there for 4 years, I had like a little place where people will go and they will pay me and they will play my Super Nintendo games or Sega Genesis games. And I have a lot of TVs. So it was kind of like a little arcade, but it was all Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis consoles and games. But I was one of the first people that started doing that back in the days over there, and a lot of people started copying me over there, and I just got tired of it and I stopped. But it was the gaming community was pretty big back then, so I can imagine now, you know, with the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, also now with the Nintendo Switch, I'm just curious to see how it is over there. Plus I used to play a lot of arcade games too over there. So that's where I actually played Killer Instinct for the first time, the arcade. I played it over there in at the Capitol in Santo Domingo. So yeah, definitely going to be talking to my gaming friends over there, and I just want to get feedback about that. And there's a lot of developers over there too that have been making games, not only for the mobile phone, but they're trying to make games for like the, you know, for PlayStation and Xbox. So I'm going to try to see if I can hunt them down and sit down with them and record over there. So stay tuned. That's going to be a lot of fun. And I've never recorded an episode over there at Dominican Republic. So that's going to be very, very interesting.
The fun is back. Oh, yes, sirree. It's the 2600 from Atari. It's the video system with class
Space Invaders to cars that roar. A real hip joystick controls the screen. Solaris is hot and Midnight Magic's mean. And one more thing, it's got a special low price. Under 50 bucks.
50 bucks?
Now isn't that nice? The fun is back, oh yes siree. It's the 2600 from Atari.
Today's episode of GTR is going to be very special to me because, you know, back in the 80s, my grandmother surprised me and my cousins. She purchased four Atari 2600 and they gave it to us for Christmas. And I was super excited because, you know, that was my first video game console at home. First time playing Defenders, Pac-Man, Asteroids. Oh my gosh, so many games. And during E3, I've been going back and forth with Nolan Bushnell. For those that don't know, he is basically the creator of Atari. You know, he sold it years later after he created and launched the company and everything. But we met at E3, and let me tell you, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little bit nervous. You know, I never get nervous. You know, when I interview someone for the show, but for some reason, I was very nervous to meet him. You know, because of him, I became a gamer, and you know, I started playing a lot of video games, and I also started my podcast all because of that console. So, you know, I talked about that with Nolan. We had a great conversation. It was crazy because originally we were gonna record the interview. I believe it was like Wednesday afternoon. We had everything set up and everything, but he was having a lot of issues because of the whole open to the public. He couldn't really walk a lot of places around there inside the LA Convention Center. And he was like, nah, I can't do this. You know, every time he walks around, people want to take pictures and everything. So it was hard for him to get to the appointment or the meetings that he had behind closed doors because of that, you know. So he called me when I was at the meeting room trying to edit a couple of episodes I was planning to upload and send it to CBS. And I picked up the phone and I'm like, hello? I didn't know who it was because I didn't recognize the number and stuff. So yeah, he called me and he said, hey, Danny, this is Nolan. I was like, hello, what? Like, I was not expecting. I got really, really nervous when he called and stuff. So, but yeah, so we met up and we recorded a 15-20 minute interview, just having a great conversation about back in the days and also about his new company that he launched a couple of years ago. It was all about VR. But before I play this interview, let's talk about this. So during E3, there was a big buzz about this 21-second video that came out. It was on YouTube about Atari. I was like, all right, let me look at it. And once I looked at it, it looks like they're launching a brand new console. It's called the Atari Box. Go to ataribox.com. It's a 21-second video. It has shots of retro wood grain with the Atari logo, and it shows, I think it'll set on the website, it says coming soon at the end too of the video. But on the website, there is this thing where you could sign up to get, you know, the first details about any updates, you know, for the media. If you're a developer, you could sign up too, and so on. So super curious about this. Is this going to be like an old school type console where you can play like all the retro games? Or this is going to be a brand new console? It looks like a brand new console to me. But VentureBeat interviewed the CEO of Atari, and it's confirmed that they are working on a upcoming console revival. Right now, there's not much details about this and when the system is going to be available. But apparently, it's based on quote-unquote PC technology. So, super curious about this. What do you guys think? Go to ataribox.com to find out more information about this. You know, I'm just curious what type of games are going to be available. The developers, are there also working with big-time third-party companies or what? I'm super, super curious about this. And the most important thing is price. Super important. We'll see what happens. But now let's talk about our sponsor, Western Digital. With WD, you're now able to get solid state drives and hard drives to fit your unique needs. When you add the superior performance of a WD solid state drive to your PC, you get a blazing read speeds so you can boot your system quickly or load games and other applications in a snap. Combined with a reliable WD hard drive, you get up to 6 terabytes of storage to keep your games library, direct feed video, podcast, and more all in a single place. And here you go, GTR listeners. This is for you. And for a limited time, yes, right, limited time, Gamertag Radio listeners can get 20% off WD SSDs with coupon code WDGTR. That's WDGTR. Find out more at WD.com/GTR. And that's one thing that I love about this, because this is a limited time offer. You know, shout out to Western Digital. They hooked us up for our, you know, GTR listeners. And a lot of our listeners have been hitting us up through Facebook, through Discord, even through Twitter, saying that they took advantage of this promo code and they bought their solid state drive, you know, for their PC and stuff. So take advantage of this, guys. This is limited time. First come, first serve. Just take advantage of this. And, you know, P and Paris, they've been loving this, you know, especially now that Paris, you know, been working a lot of the videos. By the way, go to his YouTube channel. He's been posting a lot of videos lately. He's been working on that. And, you know, those takes a lot of space, man, when you do a lot of, you know, video editing and stuff. And especially if it's 4K and also all these games that, you know, P and him been downloading through Steam. So take advantage of this. It's limited time. Once again, is coupon code is WDGTR. That's WDGTR. And find out more. Go to WD.com/GTR. And now let's play our interview with Nolan Bushnell.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so it's an honor to have the legend Nolan Bushnell here. And very quick, before we start recording the interview stuff, my grandmother bought me my first video game console when I was a little kid. It was the Atari. So thanks to you, I'm here, you know, at E3 and doing my podcast and everything. And yeah, it basically changed my life. So thank you.
Well, my pleasure, you know. And thank you and your grandmother. You know, I like to sell stuff.
So, I mean, how did it came up? How the whole Atari concept came about back in the days?
I was probably the only electrical engineer who had put himself through college working at an amusement park. And so I became manager of the games department, and along with the Midway games, I also had a couple of arcades under my jurisdiction. And so I understood the economics of the coin-operated game business. And then Winters, pursuing an engineering degree, it was just at the beginning where they were hooking screens up to big computers. And so a guy named Steve Russell wrote a game called Space War, and I was addicted. But I knew that if I put a coin slot on it, it'd make money. But 25 cents a play wouldn't work on a $300,000 computer.
Right. And what about, like, was that the big hit for you? The big first game that was that everywhere?
Game, the first game was a success but not a hit. It was called Computer Space. And I molded it out of a fiberglass, and it was very spacey and all that. But it was a little too complex for a working a blue-collar worker in a beer bar. And so the next game was Pong, and of course that was a huge success.
And how that came about, too, the idea of Pong?
Well, we had programmed the big computers to play ping pong. Willie Higginbotham did a ping pong game. And then Magnavox, with their Odyssey game, I actually saw it at at one of their trade shows for their distributors. And I saw it, and it was a ping pong game. And I thought, boy, it's really crappy. But looked around and people were kind of having fun with it. I said, well, you know, using my technology, you know, the Odyssey was kind of an analog technology for the consumer. And ours was digital. It was crisp. It was good. And that's how Pong started. And it was simple. And it was actually a product that we didn't think was a product. I saw it as a training program for one of my early engineers.
So back then, the business was super different back then. Why did you manage to sell Atari back in the days too? You just got tired of the video game business or what?
The world of venture capital was very different then. There were only a few. Like, we didn't raise a penny of venture capital until we were at about $30 million in sales. But the Atari VCS, it was very clear that we didn't have enough capital to put that into the market. It was a big product. It had cartridges and it was $170. And so we were planning to take the company public to raise the capital to build the factory, to build that and all that. And the market, the stock market, became really soft. And so our underwriters said that they probably couldn't get us off. And so we looked for a corporate partner. And Warner came along, and they said, we'd be more than happy to fund it, but we want to own the whole company.
And what are your thoughts about when people say, yeah, Atari basically... There was a video game crash back in the early 80s. Was it early 80s and stuff? Or mid 80s? 83. What are your thoughts about that? Because a lot of people have been always mentioning that. And also, they also mentioned this game, E.T., for the Atari. So, what do you think?
The crash was suicide on the part of Atari management. It wasn't homicide. You know, it was... The big mistake, after I left Atari, and I left because... The guys from Warner all came from the record side, and they didn't understand that the video game business was being both the record and the record player. All they could see were cartridges, cartridges, cartridges. And I felt that you had to upgrade the hardware every 3 to 4 years. Because, for example, when we built the 2600, it had 128 bytes of RAM.
Huge difference now.
Not kilobytes, bytes. And so, but by the time we hit the market, the cost of RAM had dropped by two orders of magnitude. So we could have had, for the same amount of money, we could have had 128 kilobytes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so with that, the architecture gets very different. In fact, and so by not upgrading that and trying to put another 10 million VCSs into the market that was already saturated.
I remember seeing commercials that was like under $50 at Atari. I remember that.
Yeah.
But I mean, the video games industry has changed throughout the years. And you've been at E3 this time. How's it been, the experience this time? There was a lot of people there, man. They opened, first time open to the public. But let's talk about the technology. Was there anything that caught your attention for this year?
Oh, for this year, I think that I'm very involved with VR. And I think that VR is a little bit early for the home. I think the public space is going to do very well in VR. I'm actually surprised there isn't more AR. Augmented reality out there with cell phones, but there's a few. I think that the business here is getting big, but it's also getting kind of repetitive.
I see what you're saying. You know, a lot of sequels,
a lot of sequels, you know, Rocky 247.
Yeah. I mean, that they're like, for example, at Microsoft announced like their new console, Xbox One X. Is that something that you like too? Like 4K, PlayStation 4 Pro is also 4K. Do you think that's also the future besides VR?
I think that there's there's some really wonderful things in the console market. I particularly love things like, you know, Guitar Hero and Just Dance. I mean, our family, we always, you know, push the couch back and do Just Dance, and when we have a party and things like that, and the people that haven't seen it love it, and it's actually really good exercise. It's a fun way to get a real sweat up, and so I think that that the console market with the, you know, IR cameras and the various things, I think it expands the palette of what you can do with things.
Is there any VR games that you played that's really, really good that has potential to become a hit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of the stuff that we're doing at Modal.
Well, yeah, we got to talk about that too, right?
Yeah, well, we, believe it or not, the guys, just to mess with me, did a VR Pong game in which you're the paddle and running back and forth to hit the ball back and forth and what have you. And it's just damn fun. And so we're actually publishing, we're shipping next week.
Yeah, wow, okay. And that's only going to be available where, Steam, a PC, or?
No, it's only going to be available in public spaces. Because we have this tracking technology. In fact, you should go into modalvr.com and see the whole thing, because it's cool.
You should talk about more about your project, because a lot of people probably don't know much about it.
Modal VR is a tracking system, hardware platform in which we can track your full body over the area of a football field. We can track 16 people, so you can do, you know, laser tag VR, and you're physically running. You can be running around that. Go into Modal, M-O-D-A-L, VR.com, and look at the videos there, and you'll get a good idea of some of the things that we can do. And like I was saying, we got a VR Pong that's just some giggles.
I mean, do you see yourself also working on projects for consoles too, or is it only going to be like that, just PC for now?
The console market is such red ocean, and I try to go where no man has gone before. You know, and for example, Modal VR, we're the only people that can track you over that big an area. And
technology works though like that.
Huh?
That's kind of crazy that it tracks that many people, and when you say the size of a football field, right?
Well, stop to think about haunted hay rides. We've got a piece of software that's just going to scare the shit out of you for this Halloween. And you can set up in any parking lot. You set up and tear down in 15 minutes.
So I can imagine a game like a horror game that would be perfect. Do it at a parking lot, right?
Yeah,
I could see that big time. Oh my God, that would be a super different experience.
For younger kids in a mall, you know, getting to walk through Santa's Village, and you know, what have you. It's gonna be it's really cool. But the other part about it, because we can track you over a football field. Think about police training, where you can simulate an urban environment. And, you know, in life and death situations, the more training with situational awareness, it really, really helps.
See, like the other day I played VR, I think like the first, actually my second time playing VR, and I got motion sickness. I don't know, it was maybe the game was too early. For those that are in that situation,
sitting down.
I was sitting down. So this one, I'm moving around.
I've been in it for an hour and not a bit of motion sickness.
What about sound? How's that?
Wonderful also? Sound. Yeah.
So that's your first game, the Pong game for your... And
it's got another sort of a space zombie shooter that's coming right after it.
So, okay. So this is more for bigger companies if they want to...
It's really what we call the family entertainment, Dave and Buster's and you know, the miniature golf courses and things like that.
You guys got to do something for the home, man. That would be awesome, right?
Well, you know, we're a small company. And my rule is, when you're a little company, don't go and compete with the Facebooks and the PlayStations and things like that, because, you know, they can just outgun you. And so we're going to be very happy we believe that we can create $1 billion in revenue in 4 years. That's good enough.
So what made you want to focus on VR and not an other, like a new console? Why VR?
Well, first of all, I'm at the stage in my life where I'm not CEO of anything. And so I have several things I do, but I try to focus on things that I think are revolutionary and that I know a lot about the public space entertainment thing. Chuck E. Cheese, Atari's coin-op division, what have you. I've had two or three coin-op. I also understand the gambling business pretty well. And so I just felt that VR represented a very interesting thing for us to be able to do. And the technology that we discovered puts us basically in a very good place.
What's next, you think, for the industry, gaming-wise?
I'm actually working on a movie that you can play.
How that will work?
Well, understand that there's a way you can integrate play and narrative. And so what we're doing is creating a series of new experiences. So for example, when you're watching a movie, you're seeing the point of view that the director wanted you to see. What happens if you can choose the point of view and wander around amongst the actors in VR?
And make choices too? That will affect the story?
Yeah.
I think that sounds pretty nice.
It's hard.
Hard?
Well, yeah, it's because the combinatorial effects, unless you can force the storyline to converge, you just can't have, you know, every time you branch, there's branches on branches on branches, and pretty soon it's a combinatorial nightmare. And so you have to be able to prune the branches by reconvergence.
I know you do a lot of speaking gigs. Is there any events coming up that you're going to be speaking at? Because, you know, maybe somebody is interested would like to check it out.
You know, it's one of those things where the next little while I'm going to be doing quite a few things in South America, a few things in Europe. But in terms of big ones here, you know, I'm doing a lot of speaking on creative management. And they tend to be sort of industry things, not gamer-centric.
Fine. But Nolan, I just want to say, man, it was an honor to sit down with you and record this interview. It's been a life-changing for me playing, you know, Atari and everything. And now, you know, I'm still doing this now for like 12 years and everything. So thank you once again.
I'm glad for you to be fans. What you need to do is you need to interview my kids. I've got three kids that are heavily in the game business.
We got to do that. We got to make it happen.
Yeah. Tyler Bushnell and Wyatt.
Why they got involved? Was it because you knew?
They knew, you know, they were trained at the dinner table.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, we definitely got to make it happen. Next time when I'm here, we'll email each other. We'll see what happens. Thanks a lot, Nolan.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger fried rice. Parmesan crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli. I mean, that sounds good, right? It sounds like something you would want to eat. And it's meals like these that make Blue Apron the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron provides you with an amazing variety of meals that you can select or get a grab bag of sorts selected by the Blue Apron culinary team. Either way, each meal you receive from Blue Apron comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients, and the typical meal takes anywhere from 40 to 45 minutes.
Time is money, and not only do you save time by not having to go to the store, but for less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers great tasting seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've bought a bunch of cilantro parsley for a meal and only used a little bit of it, and the rest of it ends up in the garbage. So you're saving time and money, and you get a great meal all at the same time. So all you got to do, check out this week's menu, get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/gamertag. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/gamertag. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
All right, so we're back here. You know, thanks to Nolan and his publicist, Nancy, they've been helping us out. Behind the scenes, we made it happen. It was an honor. It was an honor to have Nolan on the podcast, and it was a lot of fun. You know, every time I go to speak about the history about GTR and everything, I always mention that about my grandmother buying me the Atari 2600 every single time. So it's pretty cool.
So then, my grandmother bought me an Atari 2600. She's the reason why I got... Oh, we got some couple gamers here. Okay, that's good. So she's the reason why I got into gaming. So I remember my first game was Defenders for the Atari 2600, Pac-Man. I don't know if there's any Pac-Man fans here. Yeah. So thank you, abuela.
You know, and I'll never forget the commercials when I was young. The Atari, $50. That was a lot of fun. So anyways, all right, so I'm going to Dominican Republic. You know, sorry that the show is short. Like guys, we worked a lot, you know, during E3. We're trying our best to release content for you while we take our vacation. And, you know, I'm going to Dominican Republic for 6 days. So I'm also doing a media tour there to promote the Messengers, a podcast documentary, which is coming out very, very soon on iTunes. I'm going to promote GTR because I think it's very important I want people to learn more about, you know, the business side, the community side of gaming and stuff, and learn about, you know, how we've been doing this for so long, for 12 years, you know, when it comes to with podcasting and stuff, and why we've been so successful. So I'm definitely going to be doing that in Dominican Republic, and of course, taking a little vacation, of course, but it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of fun. So while there, you know, hit me up. I'm going to be, you know, posting pictures on my social media accounts. You can follow me through Twitter, Instagram, and even Facebook. And also, if you're in our Discord channel, I'll definitely post some pictures over there too. So, but that's it. Just want to say thanks. Next week, Monday, I'm posting this pretty cool Q&A session that we recorded in New York City at CBS Radio New York. Where we had a screening of The Messengers, a podcast documentary. We have a lot of the members from the GTR committee there from all over that area of New York and also close by from the East Coast area. And they drove to New York City to be part of this event. And they got to see an advanced screening of The Messengers. So after that, we had a Q&A session. It was with me, the director, and also the executive producer of the movie. I'm going to play that for Monday, so stay tuned. It's going to be a great, great Q&A session, so stay tuned. All right, until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.